quite sure that none of us, we will like to lose out on any good deals or blessings. Especially nowadays, I believe with the internet, sometimes we want to buy certain things. One of the first things we go to the internet to look out for is, are there any promotions in case we, you know, pay too much for something? And you know, recently our suitcase was spoiled. So the first thing that me and CJ was thinking is we need to look out for any credit card promotion so that we can get some free suitcase rather than go and pay for it. So nowadays, people are looking for good offers, good promotions, good deals. Nobody wants to miss out on any good offers. And so now you ask, what is the best blessing and the best gift that we can ever have? And who are the most blessed people? And of course, if you are in the gospel, you will know that the greatest blessing and the most blessed people are none other than those who receive the love and the mercy of God. So I hope that most of us sitting here, we know that we belong to this group who has received the greatest blessing, because blessed are those people whose transgressions are not counted against them. And who do you think is the most successful person? The most successful person is someone, I don't know whether you confirmed the last message on Sunday, the most successful person is someone who can really see the presence of God everywhere we go. Now, when you are able to see God in your challenges, in your smooth sailing life, in your daily living, you realize that you can succeed in everything. You can be very firm, you can be very strong, and no problem can take you down. And so, God has given us the best blessing and the greatest success in Christ. And in the Bible, we see a lot of characters in this category of receiving God's blessing and God's help. And one of these characters is this person called Noah, which we will be sharing over a few weeks. We've shared on Noah before, and today we will also continue in the blessed testimony of Noah, and the next time we will still talk about Noah. But when we talk about Noah, you know, a lot of time, you know, we know that Noah belonged to this group of people who are blessed, who received the grace of God. But then when you think about people like Noah who received the grace of God, what does that mean? So, you know, we've been hearing this term, you're blessed, you receive the grace of God. So what does that mean? Does it mean that if a person receives the grace of God, then he won't see disaster in his life, he won't encounter problem? In fact, when you look at the life of Noah, it is the very opposite. Because, you know, Noah, he didn't just experience storm in his life. He experienced the greatest storm ever in the entire human history. There's no storm as severe as what happened in Noah's time. So you see, sometimes we thought, oh, you know, if we are receiving God's grace, we'll be excused from all these unnecessary disaster calamities. But the storm that Noah went through is the storm that almost wiped out everything on earth. But if you say that, if such a blessed person, he also go through such a severe storm, then what's the blessing? Where's the grace? The grace that Noah received is in the sense of not he escaping any problem, but in the sense that in that heavier storm, in that greatest problem, God provided the way of deliverance for Noah and his family. God provided the most formidable ark. And in that case, I think sometimes it's also the same for us. You know, sometimes we'll be troubled, we'll be perplexed. We're thinking we are Christians, we call on the name of the Lord so faithfully, we come to church every week, and every day, every morning, every night, we talk to God. So why is it that God allow us to go through certain troubles, certain storms in our life? But receiving grace doesn't mean, as we all know, that we have no problems. But receiving grace means we can be different from the people of the world. So the grace that God has given Noah is that God made Noah different from the world. While the rest of the world, they are busy with pursuing worldly prosperity, worldly success, worldly busyness and the affairs of earthly life, Noah, he walked with God all along. And in storm of life, Noah received this grace and faith from God to trust in God. And so, again we say, it is not that if we are blessed, we can be smooth sailing. But God's power will help us rise above the storm. And so today, as we read through Genesis chapter 7, we pray that God will speak to us as he has touched Noah back then. So Genesis chapter 7 is the passage for today. And so verse 1, here it says, "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate.'" So when you see this, do you see anything amazing from this verse 2? When I read this again, I find it so amazing that God's grace, God's love extended even to what? Not just the clean animals, but also the unclean ones. I mean, if you are Noah, you'll be thinking, oh, this disaster is to come to this earth, so it's a good time to get rid of all the unclean animals. But this loving God, he wanted to save both the clean and the unclean animals. So in other words, this is the same as God's gospel. Jesus' gospel is designed to save all kinds of sinners. You know, sometimes to us, in our human eyes, some people appear to be really good. They have good character. They are very loving, considerate, and kind. So we love them. And we don't find it surprising that they can go to heaven. But there's, I think, a whole load, more people whom sometimes we wonder, how is it possible that God's grace can come upon them? Sometimes, you know, we'll be surprised. I don't know whether in future we'll be surprised at who we eventually get to meet in heaven. Because some people, when we live with them on earth, we'll be thinking, they are so disgusting, they are so inconsiderate, they are so sinful and evil. How can they also receive the grace of God? But nonetheless, whether it is the good or bad, we all need Savior. Because no one, not even a good person, is good enough for God's standard. And we all need a Savior. And so verse 3 continues saying, "And also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. And then 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him." And it's beautiful that the Bible deliberately didn't mention that Noah asked a lot of questions. You know, sometimes when God asks us to obey him, we will ask a lot of questions. We will say, "God, if I obey you, how about my future? If I obey you, what about my time? What about my free time? If I obey you, you know, how do I answer to my family?" And so on. So sometimes when God asks us to do certain things, we are prone to ask a lot of questions and we have a lot of hesitation. But it's beautiful that Noah just simply did everything the Lord commanded with no questions asked. And verse 6, "Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came on the earth." And so as God said, it really happened. You know, even despite the fact that maybe the peers of Noah, the people during Noah's time, they find it very incredible that the flood is going to come and destroy the whole world. Just like, you know, people of the modern era, you tell them the end of the world is coming, they will think that you're joking. But whatever people think, whatever God says will happen. And verse 7, "And when that happened, Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood." And verse 8, "Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds and of creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark as God has commanded Noah." Then we jump to verse 16. "And the animals going in were male and female of every living thing as God has commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in." So this five words, the Lord shut him in. The Lord keep him. The Lord was the one who kept him safe, he and his family. And then verse 10. "And after the 7 days, the flood waters came on earth." So according to the time set by God. In verse 4, God already told them, 7 days' time, the flood will come. And Noah took God's word seriously. After 7 days, the flood waters indeed come. And verse 23, "Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals and the creatures that move along the ground. And the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those with him in the ark." So as it happened to Noah, as it's also the same for us, people around us, our family, our colleagues, people that God has placed around us, they are also important because we play a role to save them and help to move them into the ark as Noah brought his whole family. So the key passage of today, the key point of today's passage, I believe you will know that there's only one thing we need to remember, that only those in the ark are saved. So today's passage will revolve around the significance of this ark. So what's so special about this ark? That it is the way of salvation. So a few things for us to consider for this ark is, the ark is the only way of salvation. When the flood comes, we know, according to this story, we know, in order to survive, the only way provided by God is to stay inside the ark. You know, when the flood comes, whether you are the smartest, even if you are the best swimmer, all the creatures which has been wiped out on earth, some of them includes the best swimming creatures, animals, but they were destroyed. So if you are on the highest mountain, whatever the case, nothing can save us except the ark of God. And so, of course, we know that this ark represented Christ. Because we know when the Bible tells us a story, it always points us to Christ. So this is something we need to confirm. In Christ, we get to survive. Anyone is outside will die. And this is not just, you know, this is not just applicable to eternal salvation. You know, today, the way to peace, the way to happiness, the way to satisfaction. You know, sometimes if you've encountered trouble, you know, people around us can comfort us. People can, you know, bring us to eat some nice food. At the end of the day, only when we encounter God, only when we hear the voice of God, then our grief can be comforted. Our strength will be restored to us. So that's the only way. You know, sometimes we want to change people. We have a lot of desires in our heart. The only way to effect things lies in the hand of God. So anyone who is in Christ, as this story wanted to highlight, lives, and anyone who ignore Christ will perish. So whether it's the rich, the poor, the healthy, the unhealthy, the smart, the not so smart, nor even those with good or bad character, there's only one way to survive. And so, you know, we've been hearing this, but have you realized that in the course of following God, many times the world wants to give us a different picture, a different story. The world is trying to tell us, there must be more than one way. You know, in order to get satisfaction, in order to be happy, there must be more than one way. In order for people to respect you, in order for you to live a fulfilling life, there must be more than one way. So, do not believe it when the world tries to offer us many, many other things. Sometimes even our own brains, our own feelings is trying to tell us, you know, the best blessing for the day is not to come to church. The best blessing for the day is to sit at home, laze around at the sofa, watch the TV. You know, sometimes even our own feelings try to deceive us that there's something else, another way to happiness. So the ark reveals to us that the only way is through Christ. And one thing we need to note here from this story that we need to keep reminding ourselves, especially in this end times, in this modern world even, is this, that the majority may not always win. Even in fact, today, you know, sometimes we always say the youth are always affected by peer pressure. But I realize, as a human being, we are very much affected by majority views. You know, the past few weeks we talk about social issues. Even Christians who have understood the truth of God, a lot of times when we hear a lot of majority views, we start to waver in our stand. Not just in social issue, but a lot of times even with our relationship towards God, our priorities in life. So even up to today, this is something we need to guard against, because every day is coming at us. We are prone to believe what the majority people believe and what they go after. But here, this story once again reminded us right from the beginning that the majority may not win. Because we've read certain verses telling us that in Noah's time, despite Noah preaching the word of righteousness, only 8 people were saved, and they were Noah and his entire family. They were the only one left. I mean, sometimes, you know, logically thinking, nobody could imagine that the few people would be right. You know, Noah would be right. You know, most people would rather choose to believe that if more people believe in something, the tendency is the majority view tends to be correct. But again, for us who knows the truth of God, we know whatever God says, whether few or more people believe, whatever God says, that will happen. And so, right from the beginning, this is Genesis 2. So, from the first book in the Bible, it has been pointing us to the Messiah, to the Savior, to the only way that human needs. And so, even though the majority, even in today's world, nobody may think that the blood of Jesus is very precious or it can deliver us, but the truth is, only the blood of Christ can deliver us from sin, from the unrest, from condemnation, and give us the freedom. And another thing about this only way of salvation, when this only is very all-encompassing, when we say that the ark is the only way of salvation, it also means that inside the ark is everything we need. So Christ is and Christ has everything we need. So there's a difference between Christ is everything we need and Christ has everything we need. Christ is everything we need. He is the joy, He is the wisdom, He is the love that we are looking for. But He also has everything we need. He can have the power to give us whatever we need in our emotions, in our physical living, in our spiritual walk, all the anointing that we need to do His work. So inside Christ is and Christ has everything that we need. So you imagine, you know, inside the ark for 40 days and 40 nights. How many of you have been locked in your house without going out for 40 days and 40 nights? I don't know. I think last time during the pre-war season, you know, when they do food rationing, maybe that still happened. But none of us, I believe, have ever had this experience of being locked in our own house for 40 days and 40 nights. So is it a wonderful experience if you cannot go out to buy anything, cannot go out to meet your friends, cannot go out to play? So sometimes some people will be thinking, is this really a blessing for Noah to be locked in the ark, shut in the ark? But the thing that God wanted to highlight to us is, yes, it may seem to be a bit boring to be locked in the ark for so many days and nights. But in the ark, there's everything they need to eat, to play, to have fun with, even the relationship that matters to Noah. You know, God understood human need. He even ensured that Noah's whole family. Imagine the case where, you know, Noah, he himself entered the ark, but his wife, his sons are outside. He will not be happy inside also. So God ensures that in Christ, we have the relationship that matters to us. God will give us the relationship that we need. God will give us the love, the rest, the physical, material, spiritual things that we need in our walk with Him. And so this is something we need to confirm. We need to first believe, then we can confirm. Is it true that in Christ, we have everything we need? We have the pleasures, we have the delight, we have the satisfaction, we have the love that we are looking for. So this is, as we confirm, we will see it happening in our very life also. You know, even though in the ark, you know, sometimes things happen, right? Just like in the church. The church is a blessed place. It's a place where Holy Spirit works. It's a place where God's glory is in. But I can imagine, even though the Bible didn't say, but in the Noah's ark, sometimes, perhaps, maybe Noah get into quarrels with his nagging wife. I don't know. I mean, the Bible didn't say the wife is nagging, but you know, sometimes maybe there will be disagreement, or maybe the sons start to fight. But no matter what happens within the ark, or maybe some of them, they grew bored in the ark. You know, every day stare at the ceiling, look at the floor, nothing to do. So they may grow bored. But whatever the case, as long as the whole family, Noah and his family, remain in the ark, they are safe. They are protected. They are in Christ. And so, if, you know, for whatever reason, you know, sometimes we feel unrest as we live in this world. You know, maybe we are stressed by our studies, our work, or we have interpersonal relationship issue. But whatever the case, if a person cannot find rest in Christ, he won't be able to find rest in anywhere else. And so, if this ark is the only way to salvation, to happiness, to strength, then the next thing we need to ask is, then who gets to go inside this ark? And so one thing we need to note about this ark, as if you read, I didn't read the details because it's too long, but if you read Genesis chapter 7 or 6, 6 to 9, that's detail of the ark. You know, you will realize that this ark is a huge vessel. And so who can go into this ark? Two things to note, many people. God wants to save many. You know, sometimes some people accuse Christians of, you know, you're so exclusive. You know, your God only wants to save a few people, you know. Only the Christian can go to heaven. But actually, God's intention is, as just now we read, you know, God's intention is He doesn't desire that anyone perish, but everyone who repents can be saved. So, by looking at the ark, we know that God desires that as many people can get into the ark as possible. Not just a few. And the ark also have a lot of different creatures. So who gets to go into the ark? You know, you can imagine who are the animals that are safe. Whether you are the dangerous, you know, some people, they always get angry, you know, you're the dangerous person, or you are the meek and gentle person. Or, you know, some there are some creatures who are disgusting, you know, we always find pigs are disgusting and dirty or whatever. Or some animals, they are very cute, you know, the dogs, the cats, although I'm very scared of them, but, you know, they are, but even the rats, the disgusting rats, they were all in the ark. And, you know, there could be magnificent animals in the ark, like the lion, the elephants, but there are also maybe more ordinary creatures. You know, ordinary, like, you know, the ants and the dogs. You know, not so different. But whatever the case, whether you are special, whether you're ordinary in the eyes of humans, God reserves a place in the ark. And so sometimes, I don't know, you know, maybe before we are safe, we question ourselves, and even after we are safe, we question ourselves. No, I'm such an ordinary Christian. Am I worthy of His salvation? You know, some Christians, they may think, you know, I've been a Christian for 20 years, but I've barely brought two persons to Christ. Or I've been a Christian for so long, but I never get prayer answers a lot. Or, you know, so sometimes we look at ourselves and we think that we belong to the disgusting animal category. You know, we are not fit for the gospel. Or, you know, we are not good enough. Our deeds are not well. And we always repeat our sins. But whatever the case, the ark is trying to tell us that who can go into the ark? If the criteria is not whether we are good or cute, or special, or intelligent, then what is the criteria? God only has one criteria. It is anyone who is humble, regardless of our background. You know, we can be the... So whatever our background, as long as we are repentant, we are willing to trust the blood of Christ to cleanse us, we are willing to be set apart from the world, then there is a place for God, for us in the ark of God. And then now you ask, so who is this kind of person? Who is this kind of blessed man? So then we have to think, why was Noah accepted in the first place? Was Noah accepted because of his deeds? The most important thing that made Noah blessed is God first loved Noah. So God, and because God first loved Noah, and that's the first and primary reason. That's the first. So sometimes we ask ourselves, why do we qualify to get into this salvation, to get into this gospel? Is it because we are especially humble, especially smart to understand God's love? The first and foremost reason is God first chose us. And what happens after He chose us? God will speak to us, either through the Bible, through people around us. And God will make us hear His word, give us the faith to believe in Him. And amazingly, also as what God has done for Noah, God will give us the power to obey Him. And so, who can go into the ark of God, the salvation of God? Anyone who is convicted of our sinful state, anyone who realizes that we need God and we are repentant. And so, you realize that for such a person like Noah, who is blessed, who is able to repent and be humble before God, even his troubles becomes blessing. So, we all know, judgment for the world turns out to be the greatest blessing for Noah, because after that he became the king, the ruler of the world. The whole world comes under him after the crisis. But that is what we will talk about the next time. But in our daily walk with God, I'm not sure whether, it's a paradoxical thing to confirm. I mean, how is it? It's very counterintuitive. How can it be possible that the troubles we encountered, we see, can be a blessing to people who follow God? So it's a paradox. But God has been replaying this paradox over and over again in the Bible, that troubles can be turned into blessings when we stay with God. And so we realize that, you know, when troubles come for Noah, this is good opportunity for him to exercise his faith, to practice the word that he believed in, and in the course of it to earn crowns, to earn additional blessings from God. And with this, we know that the ark is essentially what? The ark is essentially a separator. Separator from what? Separator between life and death. Between peace and unrest. You know, of course, between life and death, you know. You know, between the safe and the unsafe. But even between peace and unrest, you know, today, sometimes even on a day-to-day basis, we struggle with maintaining the peace. We struggle with finding rest. Because just as we are going to enter rest, something will shake us, something will waver us, something will try to rob us of our joy and satisfaction. It may not be, you know, disasters that shake us. Sometimes this sneaky thief of discontentment just come and take away our unrest. You know, we may still be having a good job, a good family. Just devil just give us a thought, a tiny thought of, you know, discontentment. We find unrest. We will not be happy. We will not be blissful. So even the divider between rest and unrest, between peace, between being forgiven and being punished, it all lies with Christ. And so this story is something that, you know, we have to confirm. You know, sometimes in living our life, if we live our life ignoring God, ignoring the voice of God, we shut off the voice of God from our life, then you realize the unrest in our life keeps mounting and the worries in our life keeps on adding. But the moment we turn to God, we are separated from the worldly unrest and the worldly worries. And so here we can confirm, outside the door of this ark lies what? Outside the door of this ark only lies death and destruction. But within the ark, it is peace and security. So you can imagine the picture. You know, it's like outside is so chaotic. You know, outside, people in the world, they are frantically saving up, frantically planning for their future. You know, they are full of boredom. They find a thrill, and after that, they got bored with the thrill. They are always seeking for new things to satisfy themselves to no end. But inside the ark, everything is at peace. There's satisfaction, there's unspoken joy. And so, the thing about this divider, about this ark is, no matter how kind a person is, no matter how smart, no matter how healthy, no matter how successful a person is, when they are out of Christ, when they are out of the ark, they will face destruction and death. And the same thing happens, no matter how vile a sinner is, you know, how full of struggle a person's life is, when he is inside the ark, there is hope and there's salvation. And so this is something, you know, we need to practice in our walk with God. No matter how, in other words, you know, no matter how bad, for example, you have started the day, no matter how much you have forgotten about God for a long period of time, as long as you come back to God, you can be restored. No matter how much we are, for example, swimming in the world and loving the world, the moment we come back to intimacy with God, we will find answers from Him. And the same thing, you know, sometimes some people will say, you know, I've been far away from God for so long. You know, see, things are so well with me. I've not been praying for so long. I didn't even listen to the church messages or the sermons for so long, and things are well with me. But no, don't be deceived. No matter how things look good on the outside without Christ, sooner or later, we will be shocked by the devil's lies. We'll be in for a shock. So what the ark is trying to tell us is, no matter how kind or how good something looks outside the ark, without Christ, there's no real peace. And inside, there will be protection, there will be salvation. And so, you know, the Bible, so why would the people outside judge? You know, just now we read, the people were eating, drinking, marrying, and given away in marriage when the flood came. You know, last time, when I read this verse, I'll be thinking, what's wrong with eating and drinking and getting married, you know? Most of us, we are eating and drinking and sleeping and having fun. But the people outside the ark, they were judged not because of all these activities that they are doing, but it's because they only care about eating, drinking, earning money, getting married, finding a partner, finding love, and earthly pleasures. They are only concerned about that. But they never once pause a moment to consider God. So same thing, you know, now, as you know, sometimes I know, when I preach to a group of people who are safe, sometimes you'll be thinking, yeah, this one all we know already, and because we are the wiser one, we have chosen Christ. But how about, you know, in the course of our whole day, besides just being concerned about our work, our projects, our fun for the day, and you know, now it's weekend, besides just being concerned about having fun during the weekend, do we take a moment to pause and consider God? and include God in our fun, include God in our walk. And so the Bible tells us that they were judged because they ignored God. They left God completely out of their life. And they did not believe in such a thing as the end of the world. You know, so, you know, it's just like, you know, people of the world today, sometimes we hear feedback. You know, people telling us, maybe our friends, maybe our boss, maybe our relatives, they kept telling us, you know, all along I've not had religion. And see, I'm having a prosperous business, I'm having happy family. And on the other hand, you know, I saw Christians who follow God, and what happened to them? They have broken marriages, they have sicknesses, and they have a lot of troubles on their plate. So some people, they claim, no, so I don't need God. But we need to understand that whatever God says, no matter how people, whatever people say or whatever people felt, what God says will still stand eventually. And you know, some people, when they read about this story about the flood and the ark, they will have this misunderstanding towards God, and they will think that God is so cruel. Why did God have to send such a severe calamity and wipe out so many living things from earth? But we need to understand that even before the flood, there is already the root problem. Even before the flood, people were already dead in their spiritual state, in their sins and transgressions. And if that problem of sin is not resolved, you give them another 50 years to live. It's only going to worsen their judgment, because, you know, if a sinner lives 10 more days, 10 more years, 20 more years, outside of God's guidance and will, what he will do is he will keep on adding to his list of sin, more and more sin. Ultimately, he still cannot escape the destiny of hell. So God is not cruel in that sense, because before the flood, it's not that God punishes people without reason, but before the flood, there is already sin. There's already hardened stubbornness towards God. And so, you know, the Bible always repeats one theme. Actually, if you find sermons repetitive, the Bible always repeats theme after theme. You know, sometimes when I think to myself, if I'm to preach by book, so topical preaching is quite interesting because you change the topic every session. But when I follow the book of the Bible, I'll be thinking week after week, you know, this week I talk about, you know, the difference between the blessed and the unblessed. And next week I talk about the difference between believers and non-believers. And the week after things, I talk about the difference between child of God and people who are outside of the salvation. So it's like, the Bible kept repeating over and over again from Genesis to Revelation about one key theme, that there are two separate groups of people. Those who are proud versus those who are humble. However way you say it, you know, it can be today you'll be preaching on proud and humble. But who is eventually called the proud? Those who reject Jesus. Who are eventually called the humble? Not someone who always say, no lah, I'm very ordinary. It's someone who knows that he needs God. That person is humble. So the Bible kept repeating this theme. Proud, humble. The difference between those who need God versus those who refuse to repent, those who believe and those who are rejecting salvation, and those who are saved versus those who are condemned. And so, you know, the Bible actually is telling us it's not too difficult to choose, because, you know, sometimes, you know, we struggle with choosing God. How many of us struggle to follow God when you wake up in the morning? You know, a lot of times people tell me, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I really start to struggle. Because I struggle between what? I struggle between my handphone and prayer. And when I want to sleep at night, I struggle between falling asleep and praying to God. All this kind of thing. You know, when I want to read the Bible, I struggle between the Bible and the drama, or the Bible and the game. So, a lot of times, we find it very hard to choose. But the Bible is repeatedly telling us, through its recurring theme, that actually it's not so difficult to choose. Either you are blessed or you are cursed. Either you are alive or you are dead. Either you believe or you don't believe. Either you belong to the devil or you belong to God. So, is it so difficult to choose? I mean, sometimes when we say until like that, it's very easy to choose. Of course, I want to choose blessing. I want to choose to be with God. But then there's obstacle. And so, why do we need to be reminded over and over again about this recurring theme in the Bible? Because God is trying to tell us, don't struggle. It's not so difficult. It's not so indirect. Just choose life. Just choose blessing. In the morning, yes, it's hard to choose prayer over handphone. But when the truth gets into us, and we know, you know, looking at the handphone will just steal away our wisdom, but prayer adds wisdom to us. So this is why we need a lot of confirmation. And so, hopefully, to all of us who have been hearing God's word over and over again, the choice is obvious to us that in Christ, in the ark, that is the only way to bliss, to salvation, to strength. Because everything outside the ark perishes, but everything inside the ark refines the grace of God. And so when we talk about the ark, do not just think that, why is God so cruel? We need to understand that, again, this timeless truth. Heaven is not where the sinless people go, but heaven is where the forgiven people go. And hell is not just for people. Hell is also for people whose sins are unforgiven. And you know, so even one little unresolved sin. So some people will be thinking, they are comforting themselves, you know, my sin is not such a big deal. Comparing with everyone around us, my sin is not too big. But do you know that even a little unresolved sin will qualify us for hell? So when we look at this, it's trying to tell us that God is serious. God is serious with His righteousness, and God is also equally serious with His salvation. Okay, so now we spent so long about this significance of the ark. The next point, which is also a good news for us to know, is once you are inside the ark, you cannot come out. I don't know when you hear this, is it a good news to you or not? You know, just like if I say once you get into church, you cannot go out. You know, you cannot go out shopping, cannot go and watch your Spider-Man, you cannot go and do whatever things you like. You know, some people may think this is not such a good news after all. But Genesis chapter 7, just now verse 16 we read, the Lord shuts Noah in the ark. Now we know that, you know, when the door is closed, those inside, for this case, it illustrates what happened in terms of salvation also. Once the door is closed, those inside the ark cannot go out. And those outside cannot come in as well. So, you know, once Noah, he was shut in, even if he suddenly, you know, we all have our sinful nature, right? How many of you, once you are in Christ, you never thirst for the world anymore? How many of you, since the first day you made that sinner's prayer and you decided to follow Jesus, you never look back? Of course, we never look back by the grace of God. But do we never itch in our heart, you know, I follow Christ, but I sometimes yearn, you know, to life or convenience. I sometimes yearn to love the world. I sometimes yearn to delight in the world and indulge in the sinful nature. I sometimes yearn to lose my temper anyhow. I sometimes yearn to be selfish and live a life for myself. Forget about serving. Forget about loving unadorable people. Forget about, you know, carrying the cross. You know, sometimes, even after entering the ark, in other words, even after becoming a Christian, you know, sometimes we suddenly, for no reason, we get into different reasons why we want to get out of the ark. You know, for example, you know, if Noah in the ark, if he was bored, he want to go out. If he suddenly quarrel with his wife, meaning he received hurts, he want to get out of the ark. I don't want to see your face again. You know, you are the one who always irritate me. You know, just like, you know, sometimes among Christians, when we live together, we always say, when we live together, sinners and sinners, sometimes we just suddenly, for no reason, we cannot stand the sight of each other. You know, this person always say wrong things to me. This person always insensitive. So, there are certain, or perhaps, when Noah is in the ark, you know, he also find really there's nothing to do. He's reminded of his past pleasure. You know, last time outside the ark, you know, just like the Israelites. Well, last time in Egypt, there are meat. They are very nice meat. Now in this desert, God only give us manna. So sometimes when we follow God, we secretly remember our past sins and the joy of sins, and we thirst for it. But the good news is, oh, I forgot to click. No, the good news is, you know, once we are in, we cannot be out. You know, sometimes, maybe not temptation, maybe not quarrels and hurts, but sometimes there could be discouragement, you know. Sometimes as we walk with God, you know, we thought, wow, when we first follow God, we have a lot of expectations, we have a lot of dreams. We thought, wow, once we follow God, we immediately can become a holy person. But to our horror, we realize that after multiple and millions and thousands of prayer, we are still as much a sinner as we were before. You know, we are still very much drawn to our sinful nature. We are not much holier. And we got discouraged. Or as we try to minister to people, you know, as we try to talk to them about gospel, we thought, wow, the moment we speak to those people in the ark, I'm not even talking about those people who refuse to come into the ark. And later on, as you read about Noah's sons, you realize that they are also, some of them are not so aligned with God also. So, you know, as Noah is trying to teach his children and share with them the gospel, maybe in the course of it, suddenly he feels discouraged. You know, why are people not appreciating the word of God, etc.? But the good news is, whether it hurts, whether it's discouragement, or some people, you know, they feel discouraged because I've been in the ark, I've been following God, but a lot of times I didn't get my prayer answered. You know, I've been dreaming of something, I wanted something very badly, but why God didn't answer my prayer? Why God didn't protect? And so, for whatever reason, I'm sure we have been through that different stage in our life. Whether it's temptation, hurts, discouragement. But the good news is, the Lord shuts Noah in. Notice, the one taking the initiative, the one concluding the matter, is the Lord. Even if Noah wanted to get out, he cannot. So I really like, you know, last time we had this this experiment, you know, when we do the hand thing, both us and God holding hands. So it's all good and well in the beginning. But halfway through, we will get bored with God. We want to move away from God. But God's hand still holds us tight. So simply like this, you know, sometimes when Noah want to get into the ark, of course he will want to get into the ark because the God is telling him the flood is coming. So when you hear this, of course you'll be scared. You know, last time we hear if there's hell, we want to escape from hell, we want to go into salvation. But as hell didn't come for so long, you know, so long it didn't come. You know, we have lived so long, we didn't see the end of days yet. And so sometimes we want to wander away. But the good news is God keep us in. Just like the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit always is there to keep us from temptation, from, you know, the tides of the world that wants to carry us away. You know, the tides of the world, the waves of the world always come at us, come rushing at us, trying to change our mind about God, trying to change our heart towards God. But thank God that the Holy Spirit is always there. And, you know, so some people say, but I know the Holy Spirit is there, but the Holy Spirit doesn't seem to be very effective. Leh. You know, some people say, you know, the Holy Spirit is there in my heart, but sometimes I fall into temptation again. I fall into my sin again. As a Christian, I committed transgressions and sins against God again. But then, God is holistic. Even if we were to fall into sins again, Jesus' blood is sufficient to shut us in grace and shut us out of condemnation. So, Jesus promised in this beautiful promise in John chapter 6. Jesus said that he will lose none of those belonging to him. So, despite our own weaknesses, you know, not that the Holy Spirit is imperfect, but sometimes we ignore, we extinguish the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But whatever the case, even if we were to fall again, Jesus promised that no one can snatch his sheep from out of his hand. And that is also a promise in John chapter 10. So that's the happy news for us. And Romans 8 also tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that is if we truly believe. Of course, you know, some people say, I got my friend who has been a Christian, but later on, you know, they went to the temple and become a Buddhist. This promise applies to those who, in the first place, are true believers of Christ. Not people who think that they are Christian or declare that they are Christian, but people who are truly elected and who truly believe in God. So this is the happy news for us. I pray that, you know, in our walk with God, sometimes, even though we got shaken, our faith grow weak, we always remember, once we are in the ark, we cannot come out. But then again, even though we cannot come out, you know, I forgot to say, because the ark, the door must be very tight, because the ark cannot allow water to come in, right? So the door is very tight. You cannot just suddenly sneak out of the door and then say bye-bye to God. So once you are in, you cannot come out. But even though after receiving salvation, you know, we still need to continuously trust in God and have continuous faith. You know, some people may think, you know, wow, once Noah entered the ark, he must have felt very safe. You know, last time when I read this story, I always think, oh, this is the end of the matter. Once I enter into the ark, everything is safe and secure. This is just like, you know, some people, You just think, oh, now I get a ticket to heaven. I can live life however I want. You know, I can go and kick someone. I can go and do the things I like. Never mind, you know, God's grace cover me. Once I get in, I cannot come out. You know, I will have this free access to heaven anyway. But think about it. When Noah is now experiencing what? Noah is now in the midst of the greatest storm that ever happened in human history. Have you been in a rocky wave before? I mean, I know the ark is very big. People always tell me once you're on the cruise, you don't get afraid of ship capsizing or whatever. But this is the greatest storm in human history. So, you know, one will wonder, you know, there are still dangers when you're inside the ark. Because, you know, imagine if you had Noah building the ark. When you attach the wood piece by piece together, you'll be thinking, would there be any cracks, any nook or cranny left, you know, where water may be able to seep through? It's not just raining for a few hours. It's not just a rain for 4 hours. Actually, a rain for 4 hours is really quite scary if you have been in a storm before. 4 hours of heavy rain is quite scary. It's 40 days and nights without ceasing. So you'll be thinking, hey, could there be any leakage in the wood? Or, you know, could there be any sharp object that pierced the ark that caused any shipwreck? Or you know, as the water rose and you get higher and higher on the mountain top, you know, the mountain is like that. What if the ark fall over the mountain and everything get crushed? So there's still a lot of potential hazard. And I forgot to click again. So there's still other things that will come at this ark and the occupants of the ark. You know, just like, you know, sometimes we know, not sometimes, a lot of times, when you walk this faith journey, you know, even after becoming Christian, a lot of winds and storms of the spiritual battle still comes at us. You know, Satan will come to you. Are you sure you'll be safe? Are you sure the prayer you make is valid? You know, look at yourself. 5 years ago, you are still very holy. 5 years from now, you are just like any man on the street without God. You know, so as we journey with God, there are still lurking dangers. You know, Satan will come at us with temptation. You know, aiyah, why you follow God? You know, God cannot give you pleasures. You know, God doesn't even know your need. You see, you are still so lonely after you follow God. Come, you know, there's another alternative. So there's a lot of potential hazards out there still trying to attack our faith, trying to attack our relationship with God. So even after being inside the ark, we still need to exercise faith and trust on the grace and power of God. Otherwise, we'll still be, you know, full of worries and we may still be shaken. So we need to ask ourselves, is it really safe once we self-declare that we are Christians? Is it really safe after coming to church? Or is it really safe that we have heard a very powerful sermon? You know, some people, especially those who come into our church, they will say, you know, wow, I found the message that I really want. You know, outside the message, sometimes they give me legalistic vibes or mystical vibes or whatever vibes. But I come to the right church with the right word of God. But you ask yourself, is it really safe, even after hearing a powerful, blessed sermon of God? How many times in our journey with God, you know, after hearing a very strong and good message in church, how many times after crying in the church or crying in our prayers or being touched to tears from singing some songs and feeling very convicted after hearing a message, but strangely, the moment we walk out of this church, maybe not even walk out, the moment we talk to a brother or sister, suddenly comparison come into our heart, jealousy come into our heart, you know, irritation come into our heart. I don't know. So, is it really safe after being in contact with? I mean, of course, I'm saying, if we can come to church, if we can hear a powerful message, if we can become Christian, that's of course a wonderful grace of God. But is it really safe enough? Because we need to understand that our hearts are prone to wander away from God. And we are very forgetful. One moment, remember, it is the best delight to be inside Christ. The next moment, we feel it's even more delightful to indulge in the world. So, is it really safe just to stop at those blessed things and activity and decision? If not for the grace of God, if not for continuous reliance on God, it is never safe enough. So, In that sense, we realize that, you know, you realize that actually no one, and this is something that we mature Christians or even Christians, we need to keep reminding ourselves, you know, no one can start to say, you know, there's no more need for me to pray. There's no more need for me to be watchful. You know, I ever heard some Christians saying this. The person was saying, oh, I've experienced huge trials in my life before. I've encountered huge crises in my walk with God before. And now I'm very strong. When he said that, I start to worry for him. So, because the moment a person starts to feel that, you know, I've been through a lot with God, you know, and I've been able to stay firm. But whatever happens in the past, it doesn't mean that anyone, you know, after receiving the salvation of God can say that, oh, from today onwards, I don't need God anymore. I don't need to pray so much. I've heard enough. Genesis chapter 7, I've heard the 10 times in my whole life. I don't know, maybe not. So all of you are so young. So I've heard so much about God. I've experienced so much about God. I've prayed enough prayer. There's nothing more for me to pray. No one can say that, because we know the devil is not fully dormant yet. He's still working, and our sinful nature is still lurking within us to always try to shift us in the wrong direction. And so, of course, we know it is God's grace which has brought us into the ark. It is God's grace which has brought us into salvation. But that's not the end of the story, because equally difficult, I don't know, sometimes after becoming a Christian, I mean, last time I would think it's very difficult for a person to become a Christian. But after becoming a Christian, I realized it is equally hard for me to keep on being a Christian. Because it's equally hard for us to believe in only Jesus. You know, is Jesus the only satisfaction? Is he the only solution? Is he the only hope? It's very difficult to keep on being a Christian, being a Christ-like child of God. And so, even though it is God's grace that brought us into salvation, but it's even more His grace to keep us from falling away. So we are both saved and preserved by God's grace. And one thing we need to take comfort in is, even though the ark faced a lot of potential hazard, but it never got hit, it never got destroyed. So in the same way, Christ will never fail in safekeeping us, His children and His sheep. And so that is the thing we need to remember as we get into the ark. That's not the end of the story. There's ongoing battle, ongoing submission required. And I'm coming to the last point of my sermon. The final point today is we need to take a moment to think about this critical 7 days. You know, last time when I read this, I didn't pay attention to these 7 days. But just now in verse 4 and 10, it was repeated. 7 days from now, God says, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And verse 10, what God said was actualized. After the 7 days, flood waters came on the earth. And so we see that, you know, after 7 days, flood came, door shut. It's irreversible. The door of mercy, the door of salvation was shut forever. But before the 7 day, there still is opportunity for people to enter the ark. And that's why we read about, you know, Noah, before the door was shut, Noah, he was preaching righteousness. You know, some people, when they read this, they'll be thinking, this critical 7 days, what has it got to do with me? You know, the ark, the flood was over. But that's why just now in the scripture reading, I chose two passages to tell us that, yes, in future, there's no water, there's no flood to destroy the whole world. But even scarier fate is, God also tells us the same thing. The world eventually will be destroyed by fire. A few times in the Bible, but just now we read two of the passages telling us that eventually fire will consume and destroy the whole world. So today we can be like Noah and we can be like his peers. You know, Noah has been, you can imagine now if go to your school and tell your classmate, you know, in future fire will come down and burn all of us, your classmate will think you're crazy. But just like Noah's time, you know, Noah is telling his neighbors, his friends that, you know, come get into the ark. You know, the flood is coming. You know, people will be thinking this man must be some lunatic, you know. Everything is going on fine. You know, people are still eating, drinking, getting married. Where is the flood? And it took decades before the water came down. I mean, from the time when God gave Noah the instruction to build the ark. And so, sometimes for us also, we will realize it's very hard for us to tell people. But today's passage wants to turn our attention again to the critical 7 days. I mean, today we don't know how many days. I mean, God was not so specific to us. God just tell us the day will come like a thief. And we know that when that day comes, it brings both joy and grief to us. It will surely bring both joy and grief to us. Joy what? Joy in the sense, of course, you feel joyful to be locked in safety. But you also will feel tremendous grief to see that many people will be shut off from salvation forever. And so because of that, there is this urgent need to evangelize in a loving way. Actually, why is it urgent? God sometimes allow us to feel the urgency through the signs we see. Because sometimes, you know, God knows we human. When there's no urgency, when there's no signs, we won't get anxious. We won't get urgent. So God used large and small scale things to remind us of the urgency to evangelize. You know, large scale things would be, you know, we see that there are indeed signs that the end of the world is coming according to what God has said. There's, you know, a lot of calamities in the world. There's declining morality. You know, there's worldly issues that are mounting. But at a small scale level, you know, some people, they don't really care about world affairs. You know, what the world is happening, they don't really care. But actually, at a small scale, God is also trying to show us, do not think that life is there according to what we predict. Sometimes, you know, our loved one, people who are close to us, they suddenly pass away. Or sometimes we hear some news of people perishing. You know, just yesterday, I read this story about this. You know, I stay in Ang Mo Kio, right? So there's this massive fire in Ang Mo Kio. It's quite near. I think I can walk to that place. So I was telling CJ, oh, you know, so near our house got such a big fire, and all of them have no place to stay after that. You know, it's such a big fire that they cannot move, and they have to be displaced. They have no place to stay for the night. You know, it's thank God it's Friday yesterday. You know, but then a lot of people have. So it's so sudden. It's so near. It's just few steps away from us. It's all these minor signs that life is not ours to control. Life is not ours to predict. For all you know, the neighbor that you've met, the next moment we don't know what is the news that we will hear about the person or even our own loved ones. So there is this urgency to evangelize and reach out to people that God has placed in our life. And so, just like, you know, when the last pair of animals and when Noah and his whole family entered the ark, the door will be closed. When the last elected person on earth receives the salvation, everything is over. And so, we pray that, you know, when we hear this familiar, as you all like to call it, the familiar story, we need to, first of all, of course, we need to ensure that we are really in the ark. And I pray that God give us this assurance of salvation. And the next is we really pray that God give us this real urgency and real love for people around us to bring them the gospel as well. And so Jesus wants to be our refuge, whether it is the refuge for this life or our eternal security, because we need refuge. Whether we are on this earth, there's things that shakes us. There's things that challenge us. So on earth, we need a refuge. But eternal-wise, we all the more need a salvation. So to recap, only one way of salvation provided by God. And that is through Jesus. Christ is and He has everything we need. And no one is too unclean to receive this salvation of God as long as we are repentant. And even when we are in the ark, we need to realize that once we are in, we cannot come out. And that's good news for us. But But yet, as we become one with God, and even though we are in a relationship with God, we need to exercise continuous faith, because there's going to be a lot of things that try to hit our faith and relationship with God. And finally, we pray for this urgency that we not just enjoy the bliss of gospel for ourselves, but we also, before the 7 days are up, may God give us this courage, this love to reach out to people around us. And so with this, we pray that God help us cherish the salvation has given us. So today, the whole passage is about the way of salvation. How do we get saved by the only Savior that God has designed for us? But the next time when we talk about Noah, so actually we talk about Noah, this is the second time. The next time is the third time. We will talk about how do we live life as a main character of the whole new world after the flood. And I think this also fits well with the theme for TBRC. You all know, still remember what's the theme for that? All of you sign up, you all know what you're signing up for or not? It's not just sign up to play in the bunk. And so the theme of the TBRC is to live true Christian life in this modern world. So I think it is right in the middle between Noah's entering the ark and Noah coming out of the ark. So, you know, so next weekend we will hear from God. And then after that, we need to come out of the ark also. You know, after conference, usually we are very fired up. Just like when Noah come out of the ark, he'll be fired up. You know, God, I'm the only one in this world. How am I supposed to live in this world? So I pray God give us this desire to be able to not just receive His salvation, but to live God-pleasing life. And also pray for next week's conference. So shall we pray? Dear Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for always reminding us on the truth. Because the truth is the thing that we always forget. Lord, today through your word, we want to thank you once again for shutting us in your gospel. And we want to thank you for shutting us out of the lies, the temptations, the misery that sin and the world brought us. Lord, we pray that you give us the faith to continue to stay close to you, to continue to trust you as we walk with you, even though in this walk with you there will be temptations, there will be obstacles, there will be blows from the devil. But Lord, we pray that you guard our heart above all else. And Lord, we thank you because we know we'll be able to have victory because you will be faithful to guard us all the way. And Lord, we pray that you give us this desire to not just enjoy your salvation, but to live a worthy life as a child of God in this world, that we will feel the urgency to evangelize and tell people around us your good news. And Lord, we also want to really pray that you prepare our heart for next weekend's conference on how can we live well as a child of God in this modern world, full of temptation, full of traps. But Lord, we know when you walk with us and we walk with you, we'll be able to bear fruits. So we thank you and we pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.